an Osho talk. The great Zen master, Tahui, reflections on the transformation of an intellectual to enlightenment. Number 28.
Not keeping the mind still, but mindlessness. Though you may not fully know whether the teachers of the various localities are wrong or right, if your own basis is solid and genuine, the poisons of wrong doctrines will not be able to harm you. Keeping the mind still and forgetting concerns included. If you always forget concerns and keep the mind still without smashing the mind of birth and death, then the delusive influences of form, sensation, perception, volition, and consciousness will get their way, and you'll inevitably be dividing emptiness into two. Let go and make yourself vast and expansive. When old habits suddenly arise, don't use mind to repress them. At just such a time, it's like a snowflake on a red-hot stove. For those with a discerning eye and a familiar hand, one leap and they leap clear. Only then do they know Lazy Jung's saying, right when using mind, there's no mental activity. Crooked talk defiled with names and forms. Straight talk without complications. Without mind, but functioning. Always functioning, but non-existent. The mindlessness I speak of now is not separate from having mind. These aren't words to deceive people.
There has been a long misunderstanding about two words, keeping the mind still and mindlessness. There have been many people who have thought that they are synonymous. They appear to be synonymous, but in reality, they are as far apart as two things can be. And there is no way to bridge them So first, let us try the exact meaning of these two words, because the whole sutra this evening of Tahui is concerned about the understanding of the difference. The difference is very delicate. A man who is keeping his mind still and a man who has no mind, from the outside will look exactly alike, because the man who is keeping his mind still is also silent, although underneath his silence there is great turmoil. But he is not allowing it to surface. He is in great control. The man with no mind or mindlessness has nothing to control. He is just pure silence, with nothing repressed, with nothing disciplined, just a pure empty sky. Surfaces can be very deceptive, and one has to be very alert about appearances, because they both look the same from the outside. Both are silent. And the problem would not have arisen if the still mind was not easy to achieve. It is easy to achieve. And the mindlessness is not so easy to achieve. It is not cheap. It is the greatest treasure in the world. Mind can play the game of being silent. It can play the game of being without any thoughts, emotions. But they are just repressed, fully alive, ready to jump out any moment. The so-called religions and their saints have fallen in the fallacy of stilling the mind. And if you go on sitting silently, trying to control your thoughts, not allowing your emotions, not allowing any movement within you, slowly, slowly, it will become your habit. And this is the greatest deception in the world you can give to yourself. Because everything is exactly the same, nothing has changed. And it appears as if you have gone through a transformation. The state of no mind or mindlessness is just the opposite of stilling the mind. It is getting beyond the mind. It is creating such a distance between yourself and the mind that the mind becomes the farthest star, millions of light years away. And you are just a watcher. When the mind is stilled, you are the controller. When the mind is not, you are the watcher. These are the distinguishing marks. When you are controlling something, you are in tension. You cannot be without tension, because that which is controlled is continuously trying to revolt against you. That which is enslaved wants freedom. And your mind sooner or later will explode with vengeance. I have loved a story in a village. A man was of a very angry and aggressive type, so violent that he has killed his wife and for something trivial. The whole village was afraid of the man, because he knew no argument except violence. The day he killed his wife by throwing her into a well, a Jaina monk was passing by. A crowd has gathered. The Jaina monk said, "This mind full of anger and violence will lead you to hell." The situation was such that the man said, "I also want to be as silent as you are, but what can I do? I don't know anything. When anger grips me, I'm almost unconscious. Now I have killed my own beloved wife." The Jaina monk said, "The only way to still this mind which is full of anger and violence and rage, the only way is to renounce the world. Jainism is a religion of renunciation. And the ultimate renunciation is even of clothes. The Jaina monk lives naked because he cannot purchase even the clothes. The man was of a great arrogant type. This became a challenge to him. Before a crowd, he threw his clothes also with the wife in the well. The whole village could not believe it. Even the Jaina monk became a little afraid. That is he mad or something? And the man fell down into his feet and said, "You may have taken many decades to reach to the stage of renunciation. I renounce the world, I renounce everything, I am your disciple. Initiate me." His name was Shantinath. And Shanti means peace. It often happens. If you see an ugly woman, most probably her name will be Sundarbai. That means a beautiful woman. In India, people have a strange mind of for the blind man, they give the name Nansukh. Nansukh means whose eyes give him great pleasure. The Jaina monk said, "You have a beautiful name. I will not change it. I will keep it, but from this moment you have to remember that peace has to become your very vibration. The man disciplined himself, stilled his mind, fasted long, tortured himself, and soon became more famous than his master. Angry people, arrogant people, egoist people can do things which peaceful people will take a little time to do." He became very famous. Thousands of people used to come just to touch his feet. After 20 years, he was in the capital. A man from his village has come for some purpose. He thought it will be good to go and see what transformation has happened to Shantinath. So many stories are heard that he has become a totally new man. His old self is gone, and a new, fresh being has arisen in him. He really has become peace, silence, tranquility. So the man went with great respect, but when he saw Muni Santinath, seeing his face, his eyes, he could not think that there has been any difference, because there is no grace which necessarily radiates from a mind which has become silent. Those eyes are still as egoist, in fact they have become more pointedly egoist. The man's presence is more ugly than it used to be. Still the man went close. Santinath recognized the man. He was his neighbor. But now it was below his dignity to recognize him. The man also saw that he has recognized me, but he is pretending that he does not recognize me. He said, that shows much. He went close by and asked, can I ask you a question? What is your name? Naturally, great anger arose in the man, because he knew this man knows perfectly well what is my name. But he kept still himself in control and he said, my name is Muni Santinath. The man said, it is a beautiful name, but my memory is very sad. Can you repeat it again? I have forgotten. What name did you say? This was too much. Muni Santinath used to carry a staff. He took the staff in his hand. He forgot all. 20 years of controlling the mind. And he said, ask again and I will show you who I am. Have you forgotten? I have killed my wife. I am the same man. Only then he recognized what has happened in a single moment of unconsciousness. He has realized that 20 years have gone down the drain. He has not changed at all. But millions of people feel great silence in him. Yes, he has become very controlled. He keeps himself repressed. And it is very pain. So much respect. And he has no qualification for that respect. So much honor. Even kings come to touch his feet. Your so-called saints are nothing but controlled animals. The mind is nothing but a long heritage of all your animal past. You can control it. But the controlled mind is not the awakened mind. The process of controlling and repressing and disciplining is taught by all the religions. And because of their fallacious teaching, humanity has not moved a single inch. It remains barbarous. Any movement and people start killing each other. It does not take a single moment to lose them, and they forget completely that they are human beings. Something much more, something better is expected of them. There have been very few people who have been able to avoid this deception of controlling mind and believing that they have attained mindlessness. To attain mindlessness, it totally different process is involved. I call it the ultimate alchemy. It consists only of a single element, that of watchfulness. Gautam Buddha is passing through a town. A fly comes and sits on his forehead. He is talking to his companion, Ananda. Just he goes on talking and moves his hand to throw away the fly. Then suddenly he recognizes that his movement of the hand has been unconscious, mechanical. Because he was doing a conscious talking to Ananda, the hand mechanically moved the fly. He stopped, and again, now there was no fly. He moved his hand consciously. Ananda said, "What are you doing?" the fly is gone away, Gautam Buddha said, the fly has gone away, but I have committed a sin. Because I did it in unconsciousness. The English word sin is only used by Gautam Buddha in its right meaning. The word sin originates in the roots which mean forgetfulness, unawareness, unwatchfulness, doing things mechanically. And our whole life is almost mechanical. We go on doing things from morning to evening, from evening to morning, like robots. A man who wants to enter into the world of mindlessness has to learn only one thing. A single step and the journey is over. And that single step is to do everything watchfully. You move your hand watchfully. You open your eyes watchfully. You walk. You take your steps alert, aware. You eat, you drink, but never allow mechanicalness to take possession over you. This is the only alchemical secret transformation. A man who can do everything fully conscious becomes a luminous phenomenon. He is all light, and his whole life is full of fragrance and flowers. The mechanical man lives in dark holes, dirty holes. He does not know the world of light. He is as if a blind man is. The man of watchfulness is really the man who has eyes. Ta Hui is slowly, slowly is penetrating into the deeper secrets of inner transformation. He says, though you may not fully know whether the teachers of the various localities are wrong or right, if your own basis is solid and genuine, the poisons of wrong doctrines will not be able to harm you. He says it is useless to think who is right and who is wrong. There are thousands of doctrines hundreds of philosophies. And if you go on searching for truth in those words, you will be lost in a jungle where you cannot find the path. All that you know is to attain to a solid basis within yourself. Keeping the mind still and forgetting concerns included. If you always forget concerns and keep the mind still, without smashing the mind, our birth and death, then the delusive influences of form, sensation, perception, volition, and consciousness will get their way. And you will inevitably be dividing emptiness into two. Let go and make yourself vast and expansive. It is not a question of controlling yourself separate from existence. It is a question of let go and becoming vast as the existence itself. And in watchfulness you become infinite. That is the only thing within you which has no limits. Just have a look at your watching, witnessing. It is unlimited. No beginning, no end. It is formless. This absolute stillness of the mind is exactly no mind or mindlessness. It is not controlled. It is not discipline. It is not that you are putting over your mind all your pressure and keeping it silent. No, it is simply not there. The house is empty. There is nobody to control, and there was nobody to be controlled. All concerns for control have disappeared into a simple watchfulness. This watchfulness is expansive. Once you have tasted it a little, it goes on expanding to the very limits of the universe. When old habits suddenly arise, don't use your mind to repress them. At just such a time, it is like a snowflake on a red hot stove. He is reminding you that even when you are moving on the path of watchfulness, sometimes old habits may revive. But don't be concerned, they are like snowflakes on a red hot stove. They will disappear on their own accord. You simply watch. You don't get concerned, you don't get disturbed, you don't be worried. Sometimes there will be anger, sometimes there will be a desire, sometimes there will be an ambition, but they cannot disturb your watchfulness. They will come and they will go without leaving a trace on your mirror-like purity. But you have to remember only one thing, not to start fighting with them, smashing them, destroying them, throwing them away. That comes very natural to the mind, that if something wrong is happening, jump over it and destroy it. This is the only thing you have to be aware, because this is what never allows a man to get beyond the mind. Old habits, and old habits are very old, many, many lives old. They will come. Your awareness is very fresh and very new. Your mechanicalness is ancient. So it is very natural that it will come. Somebody insults you. You don't have to be angry. Suddenly you find anger arising. It is not an effort, it is just an old habit, an old reaction. Don't fight with it. Don't try to smile and hide it. Just watch it. And it will come and it will go, just like a snowflake on a red hot stove. For those with a discerning eye and a familiar hand, one leap and they leap clear. Only then do they know. Lazy Jung's say, right when using mind. There is no mental activity. If a man has learned the art of watchfulness, he can use his mind too. And still he has no mental activity. I am talking to you, I am using my mind, because there is no other way. Mind is the only way to convey any message inwards. That is the only mechanism available. But my mind is absolutely silent. There is no mental activity. I am not thinking what I am going to say. And I am not thinking what I have said. I am simply responding to Tahui without bringing myself into it. Spontaneously, as if you go into the mountains and you shout and the mountains echo. The mountains are not doing any mental activity. They are simply echoing. When I am talking on Tahui, I am just a mountain echoing. Right when using mind, there is no mental activity. Crooked talk, defiled with names and forms, straight talk without complications. Without mind but functioning, this is the strange experience when you can use mind without any mental activity. Without mind but functioning. Always functioning but non-existent. I was from my very childhood had fallen in love with silence. As much time I could manage, I would just sit silently. Naturally, my family used to thought that I am going to be good for nothing. And they were right. I certainly proved good for nothing. But I don't repent it. It came to such a point that sometimes I will be sitting and my mother will come and she will ask me, in the whole house there seems to be nobody. I need somebody to go to the market to fetch some vegetables or something. And I am sitting in front of her. And I will say, if I see somebody, I will tell you. It was accepted that my presence means nothing. Whether I am there or not, it does not matter. And once or twice they have tried and then they found that it is better to leave him aside, not to take any note of him. Because in the morning they will send me to fetch the vegetables, in the evening I will come to ask that I have forgotten for what you had sent me. And now the market is closed, because in villages vegetable markets close by the evening. The villagers go back to their villages. And my mother will say that it is not your fault, it is our fault. The whole day we have been waiting. But in the first place we should not have asked you. Where have you been? I said, just as I went out of the home, just close by there was a very beautiful Bodhi tree, a tree under which Gautam Buddha has become awakened. The tree has got the name Bodhi tree, or in English Bo tree, because of Gautam Buddha. One does not know what it used to be called before Gautam Buddha. It must have had some name, but after Buddha it has become associated with his name. There was a beautiful Bodhi tree, and it was so tempting for me. There used to be always so silent, so coolness underneath it, nobody to disturb, that I could not pass it without sitting under it for some time, and those moments of peace, I thought sometime may have stretched the whole day. Just after a few disappointing things, they thought that it is better not to bother him. And I was immensely happy that they have accepted the fact that I am almost non-existent. It gave me tremendous freedom. Nobody expected anything from me. When nobody expects anything from you, you fall into a silence that the world has accepted you. Now there is no expectation from you. When sometimes I was late coming home, they used to search me in two places. One was the Bodhi tree, and because they started searching me under Bodhi tree, I started climbing the tree and sitting on top of it. And they will come and they will look around and they will say, he does not seem to be here. And I will nod myself. I said, yes, that's true. I am not here. But they discovered soon, because somebody saw me climbing and somebody told them that he has been deceiving you. He is always here, most of the time sitting on the tree. So I had to go a little further. There used to be a Mohammedan cemetery. Now, people ordinarily don't go to graveyards. Of course, once everybody has to go. Except that people don't like going graveyards. So that was the most silent place. Because dead people don't talk, they don't create nuisance, they don't ask you unnecessary questions, they don't even ask you who you are or introductions. So I used to sit in the Mohammedan graveyard. It was a big place with many graves, with trees and very shadowy trees. When my father came to know that I am sitting there, he said, "This is too much." He came one day to find me and he said that you start sitting on the Bodhi tree or under the Bodhi tree, nobody will disturb you. But this is too much. This is dangerous. And in fact, when somebody goes to the graveyard, he should take a bath and change the clothes. And you have been sitting here the whole day and sometimes in the night, and you come home and we don't know from where you are coming. This is usual, that from graveyard when you come back, ordinarily nobody goes unless you have to send somebody. And you had to go. Reluctantly one goes. From the graveyard, people go directly to the river to take a bath, to change their clothes, and only then they enter in the house. So my father said, "You have been doing this thing, I don't know how long." I said, "Since you disturbed me on the Bodhi tree, I had to find some place." And I told him that even you will enjoy it if once in a while when you get tired and too much tense, just come here. No dead man disturbs anybody. He said, "Don't talk me about dead men." And particularly in a Mohammedan grave, Mohammedans are poor. Their graves are mud graves. In rains, sometimes the dead body will come out. The mud has flown and you can see the dead body. Somebody's head is sowing, somebody's leg is sowing. He said, "Don't ever tell me to go there." Because just the idea that one day I will be in such a position that my head is showing out of a grave, fills me so frightened. And you are a strange boy. I said, what is wrong in it? The poor fellow is dead. He cannot do anything. It is raining. He cannot manage to have an umbrella. What are you going to do? If his one leg is showing, what he can do? He cannot pull it in. If he pulls it in, then too there will be trouble. So he keeps silent and let things happen as they are. A love with silence and a love of being absent has helped me so tremendously. That I can understand when he says, always functioning but non-existent. The mindlessness I speak of now is not separate from having mind. These are not words to deceive people. Tahui is saying that I am not using these words to deceive anyone. I am not trying to show my knowledge. I am not trying to pretend that I am more knowledgeable than you are. These words I am saying just to share my experience that no mind and mind can exist together. Just there should be no repressive methods used. Only pure watchfulness, and slowly, slowly mind loses all content. It becomes no mind. So mindlessness and mind are not separate. Mindlessness is mind without any content, without any thought. It is just like a mirror without reflecting anything. And the silence of being a mirror without reflecting anything is the greatest bliss that existence allows man to have. And from there on, things go on expanding. Mysteries upon mysteries. No questions, no answers. But tremendous experiences, nourishing, fulfilling, giving contentment to the hungry soul which has been wandering for lives together. It is time to stop this wandering. And to stop this wandering, there is a simple thing, and that is start watching your mind, your body, your actions. Whatever you are doing or not doing, one thing you have to be alert, that is you are watching. Don't lose the watcher. Then it doesn't matter whether you are a Christian or a Hindu or a Jaina or a Buddhist. The watcher is no one. It is just pure consciousness. And this pure consciousness can only bring a new humanity, a new world, where people will not discriminate each other from for stupid reasons, nations, races, religions, doctrines, ideologies. Those are just for children to play with, not for mature people. For mature people, there is only one thing in existence, and that is watchfulness. A man is going to spread Gautam Buddha's message. He himself is not enlightened yet. That's why Gautam Buddha calls him and tells him that remember, I have to say this because you are not enlightened yet. But you are articulate. You speak well. You can spread the message. You may not be able to sow the seeds, but you may be able to attract few people to come to me. But use this opportunity also for your own growth. The monk asks, what I can do? How I can use this opportunity? And Buddha said, there is only one thing that can be done. In every opportunity, in every situation, and that is watchfulness. You will sometimes find people irritated by you, angry, because you have hurt their ideologies, their doctrines, their prejudices. Remain silent and watchful. You may have days when you cannot get food because the people are against, they will not even give you water. Watch, watch your hunger, watch your thirst, but don't get irritated, don't get annoyed. What you will be teaching to people is of less importance than your own watchfulness. If you come back to me watchful, I will be immensely joyful. How many people you approached, that does not matter. How many people you spoke, that does not matter. What ultimately matters, whether you have come home, whether you have found the solid basis of witnessing yourself, then all else is insignificant. This is the only meditation there is. All other meditations are variations of the same phenomenon. So this sutra of Tahui is one of the most fundamental ones.